This is one of the hardest teachings that Jesus gives us. Love your enemies. Because it goes against everything that we naturally want to do. And it's a natural thing to want to defend yourself. And yet, Jesus presents us with a challenge to that. It's subtle. There's a lot of subtlety to it. But the key is that it's dangerous. That's what happens. It's a dangerous thing, and yet he calls us to it because God loves. As we heard in the first reading, be holy, for I am holy. And Jesus calls us to be like him. And so that's where we're starting from. I'm not there yet. If you're there yet, let me know. I want to get pointers. But it's a lifetime process. So we have to start looking at it from a couple different points. First thing, it's good to look at who is Jesus referring to? Who are our enemies? And it might be, on the one end, it's those who would harm us physically, maybe terrorists, or other examples of people wanting to cause physical harm. Like, that's pretty obvious. But then, we're moving into an election year. Political enemies. Okay, so we have all of that and everything that goes with it. And then we have religious enemies, people who hate the fact that we're Catholic. So you have Satanists and atheists, people who are trying to undermine marriage between one man and one woman, promoting abortion, or saying that our gender can be whatever it is, whatever we want it to be, and it's not a God-given gift, male or female, from birth. That can fall under enemies, people who hold those positions, because we don't agree. And that can cause a lot of tension. Like I said, it's a dangerous thing. It can be dangerous physically, but it can also be dangerous politically, socially, and to our relationships. So it's a very real thing. I don't want to make light of that. Social media, it's dangerous enough. It's best to avoid it if you can. But it's not dangerous spiritually to love your enemies. And yet, it's terribly difficult. Now, I want to make a caveat. The Catholic Church and our tradition, there's a very clear teaching of the right of self-defense and the responsibility to defend others. So that's a key thing that we recognize. It's not just straight up, okay, well, we shouldn't do that. It's like, no, we're taught that's a responsibility. That's something we have to do. We have to work for the rights of those who can't defend themselves. And yet, in some cases, there's another deeper way. And Jesus gets to the point and he says, if we only love those who love us, if I only love my friends and my family and those who treat me well, where's the merit? Where's the virtue? Where's the benefit in that? And then he challenges us. He calls us to be distinctive in how we love. He calls us to be witnesses of his love, which ultimately, if you look at the words, being a witness is the same term as being a martyr, but being a witness of God's love in our lives to those that we meet. And sometimes, and this is a dangerous thing, is sometimes it's interpreted as being nice. Like, okay, we have to be nice in all situations. That is not what Jesus says. Jesus himself made a whip in the temple and flipped over a bunch of tables and got really angry. Jesus wasn't always nice. He was pretty firm to the Pharisees. However, he was always loving. And he is always loving. And sometimes we get a little whack on the back of the head whenever we're not paying attention. I don't know, I'll attest to that. But he loves us, and so he calls us to love as well. And so this, I think, is where the catch is that when we're trying to figure out what to do in a difficult situation, whether we have a family member who's living a life contrary to the faith. And they're asking us to affirm that way of life. We can't. So then we have to address, how do I deal with that? How do I love? How do I love this person and not betray my faith? And the key where Jesus is speaking of turning the other cheek or giving up, they want to take your shirt, so you give them your coat too. It's this idea of showing those who are harming us the depth of the harm they're causing. Because if someone were to sue you for your shirt, it's kind of like a poor person. They're being charged because they have a debt. By giving them their cloak too, they're just showing the nakedness. They're like, you're killing me. You're making me naked and I have no clothes. And like, that's it. It's sort of the extreme of that. The strike on the face is likewise. Well, you hit me already. Why don't you just hit me again? It's this showing people the depth of how far it goes. Because, well, if you're anything like me, each of us have blind spots. And sometimes I might do something that hurts someone else, and unless they help me see it, I'll never know. I'll never know. But by them showing me, that's actually helping me to grow in conversion. And so that's our call, is to help others likewise grow in conversion by seeing and showing them and speaking to them maybe a correction or helping them to recognize what's going on, but in love. And so the key then from there is it's not niceness in and of itself, but sometimes it helps to be nice so that we can start the conversation. If I'm just belligerent, it's not going to help very much. I might be right, but it's not going to help very much. But if we can be kind and attentive and hear their point of view and then help to flesh that conversation out, who knows where it'll go? Because if Deacon and I were having a rough time and he strikes me and I just strike him back, pretty soon we're just having a brawl and it's a mess. It's just a mess. Now, I just met Deacon earlier today. He's a great guy, so we're in a good state. But if instead of retaliating, I wait and I help him see, or if I strike him and he doesn't strike me back, we'll start with that, because that's much more likely. And if he doesn't strike back and I then recognize what I've done, it breaks the cycle of the violence. It doesn't escalate. It doesn't get worse. It stops. And there's a story. Whenever I was first ordained, I was stationed at a parish in Northern Virginia that we staff. And this woman, she's probably in her mid-70s, told me a story about her grandfather. And he had been in Germany. He was a child. He was a boy at the end of World War I. And Germany was at this point losing the war. The French were coming into Germany. And this French soldier saw this woman's grandfather as a boy. And this boy they had no food. The war had kind of decimated everything. And this boy was starving. And this French soldier took the last of his food and gave it to the boy. Now this French soldier, from the wisdom of the world, would have been very justified in taking his vengeance out on the boy, because Germany started the war. Worldly wisdom. Continue the violence, or make it worse. Just kill him. And yet, this French soldier gave what he had in charity to this boy. And that boy then, instead of the way Germany went, as on the whole, and started World War II, this boy became a man. He emigrated. But the rest of his entire life, that moment defined him. And he was always looking for opportunities to love and to give and to be charitable and to serve, because that moment when that French soldier gave him the food he had. So that French soldier broke the cycle of the violence in that boy's life. And that's a powerful thing. And that's what we're called to do. Now the question is how? Because it's dangerous, it's difficult. And I want to put in a caveat here. There's a key thing. Jesus is not condoning people remaining in abusive relationships. Okay, it could easily be interpreted that way. If you're in one, seek help, please. Jesus is not supporting abusive relationships. But instead, he's calling us to find those ways to be loving, to bear wrongs patiently. That's one of the spiritual works of mercy that we have in the Catholic Church. And we can look as an example St. Maximilian Kolbe. He was a Franciscan friar, a priest, in Poland during World War II. He was locked up in a concentration camp. He was imprisoned, and somebody had escaped, and the Nazis sought to punish everybody and convince them all to stay by starving 10 people to death. Father Maximilian Kolbe volunteered himself in place of a married man with children because he was moved with compassion. He said, "I'm a Catholic priest. Let me die in his place." That's an example of this. He gave himself because he could. And some of us are called to that heroic level of charity. And those who are religious, so brothers and sisters and priests, have more freedom to do that. So I'm vocation director again, a little plug there, but that's a powerful thing. But each of us, in our own way, in our own lives, whether the enemy at the moment is a sibling that we're having a feud with, whether the enemy is someone at work, or maybe a spouse, or a brother who's left the faith, whatever that relationship is, if there's tension, that's who we're called to love. But we're not alone. We're not trying to do it by our own strength. That's ultimately the key. And today we celebrate with these 8 young people dressed in such nice clothing, white and suits, for their first communion, because it's in the Eucharist that we draw our strength to do this. This is their first communion. They're coming for the first time to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. It's here in the tabernacle that I will consecrate on the altar. He's in us, as Paul speaks in the letter to the Corinthians. He says, "You are the temple of the Holy Spirit." When we receive that gift, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And it's that receiving of the love of God the Father. That's the goal of our life, to receive that love, to love him back as Jesus loves the Father, and to let that overflow like the Holy Spirit does on us, on everybody else. So we pray for that grace, we pray for that gift, that in the Eucharist that we receive today, we would find that strength to love even our enemies.